We continue our study of the good news in 7:1 with lesson 3, part 2. Part 2, how else were the miraculous signs given besides the baptismal measure given to the apostles at Pentecost, as we read in Acts chapter 2, and the household of Cornelius, as we read in Acts chapter 10? The only other way that these miraculous signs were given was by the laying on of the hands of the apostles. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles." Notice, before the apostles. "And when they had prayed," when the apostles had prayed, "they laid their hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now we go to Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 25, and we see one of those 7 men on whom the apostles had laid their hands, preaching the gospel in Samaria. This man's name was Philip. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." Now let's review just a second. Philip, who could do miracles because he had received the laying on of the hands of the apostles, could not lay his hands on people and pass the gifts. Notice that the apostles came from Jerusalem down to Samaria and laid their hands on people so that they could receive the ability to do miraculous things. Now these people on whom the apostles laid their hands would have already had 3 things happen to them at their baptism. 1, they would have received remission of sins. 2, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3, the Lord would have added him to the church. But at baptism, they did not receive the ability to do miraculous things, nor could Philip, who could do miraculous things but was not an apostle, he could not lay his hands on them and give them the ability. It took the laying on of the hands of the apostles before miraculous manifestations came about. So again, they, the apostles, laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Ghost." Not even Philip could do that. But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter." Who's the only ones that had a part or portion in that matter? Only the apostles. "For your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then answered and said, Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, Did ye receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If you're not baptized, you really didn't truly believe. But he asked, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? You see the connection? So they said, Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12. Now when they were baptized in the name of the Lord, they would have received forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they would have been added to the church. But they did not receive the ability to do miraculous things until the laying on of the hands of the Apostle Paul. Those in Acts chapter 19 that Paul baptized received the Holy Spirit as a gift immediately upon being baptized. And then the miraculous signs when the Apostle Paul laid his hands on them. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip doing miracles after the apostles had laid hands upon him in Acts chapter 6, but he does not have the ability to pass these gifts to others. The apostles were called in to do that. Once the apostles all died and the canon of Scripture was complete, these gifts were no longer needed nor present. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, we read, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. James chapter 1 verse 25 says, But he that looketh into the perfect, here's the perfect that was being spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, we're talking about the completion of the canon of New Testament Scripture, the teachings of Jesus and his apostles, inspired truths that have come through the Holy Spirit. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we read, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we read, But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And so today, instead of miraculous manifestations of the Spirit, we speak the truth that we have because we have the closed canon of Scripture. We have the perfect law of liberty. We speak those truths in love. How is the gospel spread and believed today if there's no miraculous signs for validation? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, we read, How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? People believe through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is now being spread through the preaching of the truth in love. Men can hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and walk in the Spirit, and walk in the light. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, we read that we need to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. We need to confess with our mouth. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to obey the gospel. In Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says, we rise to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, it's all about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I'm just going to read the first few verses. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1, Paul writes to the Romans and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember from Romans chapter 6, we rise to walk in newness of life. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, we read, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. At baptism, we go from out of Christ to into Christ. Once we are in Christ, we must walk in the Spirit. We must walk in the light as he is in the light. Our sins of the past are forgiven at baptism, and our sins of the present and future are forgiven as we walk in the Spirit and the light and as we confess our sins. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit and who walk in the light.